Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Angelville. My name is Angel, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Solomon tonight. Solomon is a spirit you can invoke when you need wisdom. I've actually used Solomon since I was a little girl, and he's come in. I can't even say how convenient he's been. Every single time I ask him for help, I get it. So I'm going to start talking about him. I'm actually going to read a little bit to you from my book, which I wrote. It's called A Compendium of Souls, and that's Spirit Helpers. It's about spirit helpers that will support you in your life. Again, I'm sorry, I never said my name. My name is Angel Cusick, C-U-S-I-C-K. And if you ever want to reach me, just go to angelville.net. That's angelville.net. Anyways, I'm going to talk about Solomon now. And one of the quotes that Solomon famously said was that your own soul is nourished when you are kind. It is destroyed when you are cruel. And Solomon reigned, well, he lived, I should say, between 971 and 931 B.C., about, not quite, but 1,000 years before Jesus. So King Solomon was a supreme leader for over 40 years, and he was the king of the United Kingdom of Israel and Judah between 971 and 931 B.C., like I said. Solomon was a righteous king, and he was known throughout the ancient days as being one of the wisest men to have ever lived. And if you read any of the ancient books, like from Plato or Aristotle, they all refer back to Solomon because he was even a legend to those legends. And there's many ancient philosophers and ancient historians who fully recognize how Solomon's wisdom kind of reverberated through the ages. So anyway, Solomon was, like I said, he was a very righteous king, and he had many mystical instruments. And according to Arabic legend, it was actually Solomon who put the genie in the bottle. You know, most of us have never had anyone to count on or to solve our problems for us. I know you guys all know people that do. There's very lucky people, but you'll find a lot of them are very unhappy as well. But anyways, we usually have to make decisions for our own lives and our own selves. We don't all have sort of like a rock star father or a, you know, husband that's a billionaire. Anyways, most of the tiniest worries that we have turn into lifelong issues because if we don't make the right choice in the foothills of our concerns, they can develop into kind of bigger issues down the road. You know, praying helps. It helps to get us guidance. But if you really, 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 really want to turbocharge whatever it is you're asking for, you always want to ask a spirit. And what's great about Solomon is He's the ultimate problem solver. So, he's one of those people that once you get used to using him, you're not going to know how you lived actually without him. I'm not saying praying doesn't help. Of course praying helps. But it just, imagine, I know a lot of people are going to be throwing their arms up when I say this, but I want to say it anyway so you can kind of keep this in a context that would help you understand better. But it doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter what you believe in. There are certain entities, images of certain entities, who funnel in a certain energy through the energy of God. So if you could imagine God is like a snake, and these spirits you invoke are like the scales of the snake. And if you want a certain thing, you invoke a certain spirit or a certain scale. You wouldn't ask Solomon, like, well, I mean, you can ask Solomon for anything, but he's a real he's the problem solver. He's the one that gives you the wisdom. You know, if you had a health issue or you wanted money, there's so many other spirits to ask that are more focused on the on those issues. But Solomon is the person that helps sort of very complex and complicated situations going on in your life. And he gives you answers fast. You know, I've asked Solomon for help. Usually what I do is, if I have a problem, I will imagine I'm going into a golden room, and there's this golden diadem, like with a golden podium, and I sit in this golden bench or pew, and I know his energy is listening to me, and I will ask him what he suggests with something, which, you know, whatever my problem, whatever complicated issue I want to deal with is. And, you know, there's something about sleeping on it. It's like your unconscious the next morning will have the message for you. So whatever, you know that old-fashioned saying, just sleep on it? There is a lot of wisdom in that saying. When you ask Solomon for help and you sleep on it, you get the answer. It's kind of a lightning bolt when you get it. Very often you just wake up with it and you're just filled with this sense of knowing. And the other thing is, like, a lot of times when you ask Solomon to help you, you're going to be amazed at the genius of the solution, because you think, oh my God, I would never have thought of that, you might think. But sometimes he'll take an obvious thing and alter it completely and give you a solution that is so mind-boggling perfect that you'll be blown away, and you won't not want to use him when you've got a big issue going on. Anyway, so let me get back to reading about Solomon from my book here. It will startle you that the right answer for your decision comes in a clear flash of illumination. This occurs because Solomon sends his wisdom almost instantaneously. Instead of going through the muck and the mire of intellect, which often gets in the way. A really good habit to get into, like I said before, is when you make a decision to say it to yourself, to Solomon, that you just ask him to help you, and what you'll find is that the problem is solved the very next day. And the sense of knowing you get from Solomon is so profound that no one could tell you that there's any other answer. So Solomon is one of those spirits when you invoke that it's like the more faith you have in his ability to help you, the more he'll give to you. And if you know, doubt, it creeps in all the time. I mean, that's the human nature. But when you don't have doubt, it works even better. So when you ask Solomon, what you've got to remember to do is to just be open to whatever answer he gives you. Like, say it sort of like this: Solomon, what would you do? Or Solomon, what should I do? And be prepared for a very quick response. It's not that Solomon's going to appear to you in velvet robes with cocktails and pomegranates, which were he had been painted all over his palace, because he believed he was a real womanizer, Solomon. And he thought that pomegranates were aphrodisiacs, so he had them painted all over his castle, his palace. But he illuminates an answer that is far outside the box of how you think. According to rabbinical literature, before becoming king, Solomon modestly asked God to please just grant him. His father was king already. Solomon's father was king. I think it was David. And then he knew he was going to be king. And before he became king, he asked God if he could the one thing he asked God for, allegedly, was that he could reign over his kingdom fairly and justly, and could he have wisdom to do that? It says in the literature, the ancient literature, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up on the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." I should say thee. "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon apparently said, "Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. Accordingly, as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, then thou hast kept for him thy great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king, instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of the people whom thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted, because there are so many multitudes. Give therefore thy servant an understanding, a heart to judge the people, so that I may discern between the good and the bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And that's, if you go to the Bible, it's in Kings 1, paragraph 3, verses 4 through 9. So it said that God answered back to Solomon's humble request. This is what is allegedly says. This is God. "Since you have asked for this, and not for a long life or wealth for yourself." Sorry about my God voice. I know it's not that good. I'll read this again. "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and in administrating justice, I will do what you have asked." End of quote. The Hebrew Bible also states that the whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. So, perhaps the most famous story of Solomon's wisdom is there were these two women, I'm sure many of you heard this story, where each was claiming that a baby was theirs, and it was the same baby. They both had very convincing arguments, and Solomon had a guard raise his sword, because Solomon knew that both mothers would react differently. And as the guard got ready to chop the baby in half, one of the women begged Solomon to give the baby to the other woman. And it was at this point that Solomon gave that baby to the woman, who was willing to lose the child in order to let the child live. It was obvious she loved the baby more. But I want to tell you a lesser-known story that underscores his abilities to discern, not only to discern, but this one takes place with a two-headed man. Yes, this is true. A father with two heads married a woman with one head, and they, depending how you look at it, had 6.5 children. The father died, and his inheritance was about to be split up between the children. But one of those children also had two heads, just like the double-headed father did. I should have said double-headed daddy. The double-headers were outraged because they felt that the inheritance should not be given to one person to them, but actually they should both receive an inheritance. instead of the one to split between them like their family insisted. Solomon pondered this odd enigma. And in the end, I'm sure what you're realizing is that Solomon decided they should only get one inheritance because they only had one body to sustain two heads. And if it died, both heads would die, okay? So during Solomon's 40-year reign, he wrote 3 books, which I suggest you may want to, you know, check out and read if you have time. It's always interesting to read what the ancients spoke about. Number one he wrote, Solomon wrote, was called the Book of Wisdom. And it's a collection of fables and wisdom of life. You've got Ecclesiastes, and that's a book of contemplation. It's a book of contemplation and self-reflection. And you have the Song of Solomon, which is a chronicle of erotic love. Their contrasting opinions. Some people say that the subject is women, and some people say that it's God. I think somehow he put them both together. But Solomon's a very sexual person. And I guess, you know, nowadays he'd probably get sued or be on Fox and get in a lot of legal issues and legal trouble. But nonetheless, he's a great guy to invoke when you need some help. So Solomon was reported to have had an unprecedentedly glorious realm, evidenced by his collection of great material prosperity found in rebuilt cities, temples, seaports, commercial depots, and military outposts. He amassed 1,400 chariots, that's a lot, and 12,000 horsemen. He had, guess how many wives he had? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, all of whom were in love with him. So he had, imagine this, 700 wives and 300 lovers. So he basically had 1,000 women that were all head over heels for him. And he gained an epic splendor of wealth. In a single year alone, he collected 39,960 pounds of gold. I don't know if you know this, but if one of the statistics about how much gold is in this world is in a regular, imagine a standard 4-bedroom house, you could fill that house with all the gold there is in the whole world, which is kind of hard to believe, but that's what they equated. That's why gold is so valuable. Anyway, these facts can be backed up by all kinds of phenomenal and intact archaeological relics found in the ancient history books, and there is a lot of proof of what existed back in the day from him. There were 6 major cities that Solomon either strengthened or rebuilt, and he was a wondrous man who was also said to have had some serious mystical powers, which included sublime instruments with mystical powers with which to procure even more advancements and success. A magical key that he had a mechanical throne, and his magical tables were low on the totem pole of tools that Solomon possessed. The seal of Solomon was the, well, I don't know if you ever heard about this, but the seal of Solomon was this magical, it was a prized magical ring that had been given to him by God, which gave him power over demons. That's demons, in case you didn't hear me. Solomon, it is alleged, enslaved several hundred legions of demons, including their demonic king. Today we know the formidable icon that was stamped upon his ring is the Star of David. The earliest followers of the Kabbalah spoke extensively about Solomon, sailing through the air on a throne made of light or a magical carpet, which could travel so fast, it was reported it could get him from Damascus to Medina within one day. This magical flight machine not only brought him to the gates of heaven, but also to the dark mountains which held the fallen angels. Uzzah and Azazel, I'll spell those for you in case you want to name your dogs after them. Uzzah, U-Z-Z-A, and Azazel, A-Z-Z-A-Z-E-L, Uzzah and Azazel, were two of the fallen angels that were chained up on this mountaintop, and Solomon, using his magic ring, would compel them to tell him every single mystery he wanted to know. Solomon was also said to force these enslaved demons, or fallen angels, to take his friends on day trips to hell. Solomon was like a hip-hop mogul with money, friends, chariots, girls, and a pretty wild ride. But his greatest legend of all time was the genie in the bottle. I'm sure many of you heard about that, and you've always kind of shoo-shooed, but it is kind of interesting. A well-known legend in the story, it's an Arabic story, 1001 Nights, where Solomon lost his patience with a genie, and this genie upset Solomon so much, he forced the little rascal into a bottle, and he threw it out to sea. Solomon had locked the bottle with his magical seal, so this little sneaky genie could never escape. It wasn't until many centuries later that the genie was released from his prison by a passing fisherman, and no, it was not a dream of genie. Perhaps this legend has more to do with Solomon's rebuttal of his own carnal temptations, as opposed to any living, breathing creature that can make all of your dreams come true. There's also a recurring theme throughout many ancient texts that present the principle: with any excessive amount of temptation, they must rebuke in order to receive the blessings of God. In the end, just so you know, Solomon did slide a bit from grace by becoming drunk with success and power. And in the end, God divided his kingdom apart after his son took the crown. What we need to focus on, however, is the brilliant soul Solomon commanded that helped all those who came into contact with him. A brilliant thinker and wise sage, Solomon shows us the world is our oyster if we will only choose to do good and leave our insecurities behind. It isn't the devil we need to watch out for. We need to watch out for that one who always sort of gets in our way, that inner critic, ourselves. When you are unsure of what to do, all you've got to do is invoke Solomon's wisdom, then get yourself out of the way and see the answers sort of tumble down into your awareness, but only when you are open to receive. And, you know, I don't know if you realize this, but they are allegedly rebuilding Solomon's temple. And if you were to go to YouTube, you probably could look up, you know, King Solomon's temple, and you'll see some sort of great, like, computer generated beautiful visions of what it used to look like. But like I said, Solomon is just, he always answers. He always gives a brilliant prognosis of whatever your problem is. And you just have to go and ask and be open to receive. I like to say going into the golden altar, I go to a golden altar, and that's where I know when I go there I'm going to get an amazing answer. I'm going to give you a little invocation
a tiny little invocation. So I want you to write now, think of something you need. What do you want in your life? What solution? What answer do you need? What solution? I want you to think what your issue is that we can invoke Solomon for. And now, I want you to go in your mind, close your eyes, don't cross your arms, don't cross your legs. I want you to see a third eye opening on your forehead, see it in the color of indigo blue. I want you to breathe the white light into the crown of your head and out through your third eye. I want you to see yourself now walking into this beautiful temple. And as you walk into this temple, I want you to see that there is an amazing golden room inside of it. Everything in the room is golden, and all you can see is this incredible golden light. And I want you to see this beautiful diadem, and I want you to know that the energy of Solomon resides here. And I want you to humbly sit there, or stand, or kneel, whatever you feel most comfortable. And I want you to say this to Solomon. Think of your problem. And this is what you're going to say after me. Repeat. In your mind, not out loud. Please show me the correct solution, Solomon. I am open to receive. Thank you, Solomon, for helping me with... Name the situation. I am grateful to your wisdom and your sage advice. The trick to asking a spirit to helping you, that end of quote, that's the end of the prayer. The trick to asking spirits to help you is to ask them for what it is you want, and then you're going to thank them in past tense. Thank you so much, Solomon. I'm so grateful to you for giving me this answer. And I'm not saying you say that after you get the answer. You say it before, because it shows a sort of leap of faith. And when you have that leap of faith, you can somehow calibrate energy to bring the correct vibration towards you with the correct solution. So, anyway, Solomon is somebody I've used all my life. I can't imagine not having him help me with anything. He's one of those go-to spirits that once you get used to talking to Solomon, you'll not know how you lived without him and his support behind you. And I'm sure many of you guys who are spiritual, you don't have many people that are there that you can turn to, or they think you're crazy, or you live in a remote place and people are close-minded, they've got provincial mentalities. So always know that you can always turn to the spirits, and they're always going to help you. You just have to ask them and thank them in past tense. So again, my name is Angel, and you can always reach me at my website, angelville.net. That's angelville.net. At some point, I'm going to be doing online classes. I've done them before, but I haven't had time the past few years. But I am going to eventually do them. So if you're interested, let me know. Because I do have more than enough people that want to do it. It's just a matter of time of getting my act together to do it. But just let me know. I'll put you on my list. And contact me through the website. And don't forget, when you've got a very complicated issue and you need very, very good sage, wise advice, I want you to go to Solomon and know that he's always available, he's always listening, and it doesn't matter who you are, what religion you are, it doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, insane, or Mother Teresa, Solomon is going to be there to help you, and he's been put there by the universe intellectually to support you. Okay? Again, my name is Angel. My website is angelville.net, angelville.net, and I look forward to speaking to you again. Thank you so much.